so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams? Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. In the nation's business capital, stand up, please. Wherever you are, at any part of New Zealand, good afternoon.
Don't forget,
and kia ora to all our friends all over the world. And this is the Born to Lead program, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And as usual, my name is Kizito. And I'm your host for today.
All will be happy and gay. Come with me on this happy trip back to the promised land.
So if you're just here, you are listening to the Born to Lead program from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. It is a beautiful sunshine day. Wonderful summer. From Tamaki Makaurau. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. So today we have a very special topic. One of our usual preachers of leadership, Dr. Miles Morrow, on the spirit of leadership. The spirit of leadership, or understanding the spirit of leadership. That is our topic on the Born to Lead Show today. So please stay tuned, don't go away, we'll be right back.
We're going to be looking at this from rediscovering the essence of true leadership. I'm going to use the term true leadership throughout my presentations every morning, because true implies that there's a false. And there is a very serious misunderstanding concerning what is true leadership and what is not true leadership. Most of the people we call leaders, most of them are professional manipulators. They've been trained to manipulate human behavior or human emotions. And you can even go to college and learn techniques on how to control people. And that's what we have been suffering from in most of our experiences here. Now, we're focusing on courage this week. So let me just define courage from my perspective. And you can take these notes down if you will. What is courage? First of all, courage is the capacity to stand in the face of fear and failure. And the emphasis here is stand. Courage is the capacity to stand in the face of failure and in the face of fear. A couple of things about courage that you need to know. Number two, courage is impossible without the presence of fear. Most of you are afraid to be afraid, but fear is necessary for courage to exist. So you cannot be a courageous leader unless there's something that's making you afraid. And I believe that is why life is designed in such a way that it always throws curveballs at you, just to make sure courage still exists somewhere on the inside. Thirdly, fear gives birth to courage. You cannot be courageous unless fear arrives. True leaders are always living on the edge of fear. And the reason why they do that is because leaders are always doing something that they cannot do. And whatever they are doing is too big for them. That's the way it's designed. If what you are doing you can do by yourself without any assistance from anybody, including God, then you were not born to do that. Whatever you were born to do is supposed to frighten you. But the fear is supposed to give birth to courage. Number four. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to creatively face fear. And I emphasize in this sentence, creatively. Leaders are people who never panic. They always plan. Followers panic. Leaders plan. So when things fall apart in a leader's life, the leader doesn't panic. You can always tell a leader by the way they respond to crisis. They sit, they stop, and they plan. Leaders always believe there's a way out. Always. Now, if you haven't developed that spirit yet, you are in the right class. Because leaders are always placed under pressure because of the very nature of the fact that they are visionaries. And visionaries are people who are going somewhere they can't explain to you, doing something they can't tell you about, and always attempting something they can't pay for. So they live in a constant mode of creative planning. They have to constantly try to explain to you why they can't explain to you what they're doing. They can't tell you how it's going to be paid for. That's leadership. Leadership is always in the midst of crisis that engenders fear. And number five, the source, not the cause, but the source of courage is purpose. The source of courage is purpose. Purpose is the incubator that produces courage. And we'll explain that in a couple of minutes as we go forward. Now, I think it would be proper for me to give you a definition of leadership. And this is my definition of over 30 years of research and study and reading and all the other things I try to do to learn. I have about 3,000 definitions of leadership in my files. Every time I read a book or a manual or a document or a journal, and I'm always reading on my subjects that I'm speaking on, I collect a lot of information on them. And this one, I am very concerned about leadership. So I have collected 3,000 or more definitions of leadership, and I have them filed in my office. But this is my own personal definition as a result of reading everybody else's. I tried to make it comprehensive, so please write it down. And I think it is impossible to talk about leadership and avoid this definition. My friend John Maxwell, who and I worked together a number of times, John has a favorite definition of leadership. He said leadership is influence. I think it is true, but that's not enough, because you can take a gun, put it to my head, and make me do something. Did you influence me? Yes. But the only problem is you use fear and manipulation. So that's not leadership, is it? And yet you influence me. So influence is not enough. There's got to be a different kind of influence that qualifies you to be a leader. So my definition is an attempt to give you a comprehensive view of what makes a leader and what creates an effective leader. Here's the definition. Leadership is the capacity to influence others through inspiration, not manipulation, generated by a passion, motivated by a vision. And that vision gives birth from a conviction. The conviction is produced by a purpose. Now, it's a very, very comprehensive definition. Also in this definition, I have provided the process of becoming a leader. If you follow this definition, it's impossible not to know how to become a leader. Now, whether you become one is your choice. But let me read this definition again. It's a very, very subtle one. Leadership is the capacity to influence others through inspiration, which is generated by a passion, motivated by a vision, birthed by a conviction, produced by a purpose. Now, to actually follow this definition, you don't start from the top. So you turn the definition upside down, and here's the process. First of all, to have even the consciousness of leadership, you got to begin with purpose. You start at the bottom of the definition. You got to discover a sense of purpose first. When you discover a sense of purpose, that produces a spirit of conviction. In other words, you cannot be a leader unless you are convicted about something that you are obligated to do for humanity. Leadership begins with a discovery of a personal purpose that produces conviction in a person's spirit. A belief that is so deep that it makes them uncomfortable on their jobs. When you have a conviction that deep, then it produces the third process component, and it's passion. When you are convicted about something deeply, it develops a passion in your life. That passion is the key that produces the fourth one, and it's inspiration. If you are going to develop a passion for your life and you see what you were born to do, then passion produces a spirit of inspiration. Now, this one is very critical here, this process right here. When you discover a purpose for your life, it taps into a spirit of conviction. When you are convicted about something deeply, you begin to see how you can change the world or make a difference. You begin to dream about things. You begin to see ideas that won't go away. Matter of fact, a leader is normally walking around with a world in his head or her head that they can't tell anybody about. It's a crazy world they walk around. They see things. They see the world in a different way than the present. They see a preferred future. That's why a leader is constantly living in another reality. Leaders don't worry too much about the newspapers, because they only report history. They believe in writing newspapers. They create history. And that's why leaders are always full of a sense of vision. That vision is what gives them passion. Now, the passion in your heart is the key to lead. That's the pivot. Matter of fact, that word's right in the middle, passion. Passion is when you've discovered something not to live for, but to die for. Leaders are not trying to live for something. They are willing to die for something. And that's why the average person constantly keeps dying as a follower. Because they found something to live for, not to die for. Passion is when there's a desire that's deeper than death in your life. Passion is when you found something that drives you even against opposition. You're not afraid of disappointments and disagreements. You are so driven by what you believe that what people do doesn't affect you. Matter of fact, passion is so powerful that it is able to defeat an army. Mahatma Gandhi destroyed the entire British Empire without a bullet. It was this list I'm giving you. He discovered a purpose which created a conviction in his heart about freedom, and that gave him a vision of a new India, and a passion that he developed committed himself to die and starve to death for his own people. And that commitment is what inspired millions. 800 million people was inspired by a man who's 4 feet high and 90 pounds in a prison dying because he decided, I'm not gonna live if my people have to live in poverty and in oppression. Inspiration is your effect on people when you have passion. You don't try to inspire people by words. You inspire them by your desire to die for what you are living for. So leaders are not people who found something that they are entertained with. They found something that they are assigned to do before they die. And that's why leadership produces passion. Now, once you have passion, you begin to inspire people. When you inspire people, then you can influence them. Influence is what people give you. They submit their will to your passion. That's called inspiration. When you inspire people, they rearrange their priorities for yours. As a matter of fact, when you inspire people, they see what you are passionate about as being important to them also. So they submit their individual private authorities to yours. And that's why true leadership is not manipulation. It's impacting people with your passion. You see, passion means that you are willing to do it all by yourself if no one ever follows you. True leaders don't look for followers. Followers look for leaders. What attracts a follower to a leader? Passion. If you take one thing from this session, please remember that. You've got to find something that you are willing to die for. And I tell you, it's deep inside there somewhere. And that's why your job will never inspire people, because you don't like your job. Some of you hate Monday mornings. There's no passion. You drag yourself to this place that you call a job and you wish you were somewhere else. Matter of fact, the place you wish you were is probably the source of your passion. That's why leadership is not a matter of learning skills. It's a matter of discovering something more important than life. Once you influence people, then they call you a leader. That's the result. So write this down. Leadership is not a pursuit. It's a result. True leaders never try to be leaders. People give them the privilege of leading them. And that's why true leaders don't go around telling people, I need you to follow me. They inspire them by their passion. The first meeting that Jesus had with his disciples was a strange meeting. The meeting had one thing on the agenda. Death. I thought that was strange. He met with them the first time, and the meeting was about his dying. He started telling them how he's going to die, about this great vision he had and how he's going to die for it. Now, how would you feel if you joined an organization and the first thing the leader says is that he's going to die? But what they heard was a man that they discovered who found something more important than life to do. And that's why they left their jobs, their fishing village, and followed him. They followed his passion. How bad do you believe and do you want what you're going after? If you can retire and not miss what you're doing, you haven't found your passion. Because leaders can never retire. They found something that is their life. And as long as you can retire and quit what you're doing, you haven't found your purpose yet. Purpose is you, so you can't retire from it. That's why true leaders don't have jobs. Life is a career for them. Have you found it yet? Now, how do you get to this point? Let's talk about the heart of leadership. What is the heart of leadership? Here's a statement I want you to remember. An army of sheep led by a lion will always defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. This is the focus of my session today. No matter how powerful the lions may be, if they have a sheep in charge, they'll be defeated. That's how powerful leadership is. Leadership can turn an army of sheep to act like a lion if the leader is a lion. It's the heart of leadership. So what's different between these two groups? Attitude. Everybody say it. Attitude. True leadership is not a method. It's not a technique. It's not the learning of scientific skills, but it's an attitude. And that attitude is very difficult to discover and to cultivate. And that's why the average person, again, doesn't achieve leadership the way they should. You were born to be a great leader, but the problem is you are stuck with an attitude that blocks you. So the key to true leadership is discovering something that produces an attitude that changes the way you see the world. And that's why we spend billions of dollars every year on leadership courses all over the world. Fortune 500 companies send their managers and supervisors to all these seminars, and they pay $1,000 a piece, and they come back and nothing changes. Why? Because you cannot teach leadership. Leadership is a discovery. And that's why it's important to sit in seminars like this so you can stop wasting your money. Positive thinking books don't make you think positive. Haven't you figured that out yet? And we keep buying all this inspirational stuff, and we keep missing the fact that there's something deeper. Now, here's why I have been focusing on this recently. And by the way, I have a brand new book. Hopefully it's coming out tomorrow. It should be shipped here. You'll be the first ones to ever see this book. But this book is the heart of my life. Because one of my problems I've been struggling with is I've been working with humans for the last 33 years. And I've been traveling all over the world as much as I can to try and help them. And I've had thousands and thousands of hours of trying to train people and to make them into what they were born to be, to help them become great. And I discovered that all that training kept falling down without effect. And so I began to struggle personally to pursue, why do people not succeed? Why don't people get this thing? Why don't they change? And I discovered something. I found the key. There's a key between follower and leader. There's a little thing in the middle that has to happen to you. And I found out it is called, I call it, the spirit of leadership. Now, there's a difference, and it has to do with attitude. But you cannot fake an attitude. You cannot decide an attitude. You cannot decide, I'm going to change my attitude. You can't do that. That's impossible. And that's why people don't change. So I had to research and study. I had to read. I had to contemplate. I had to spend hours asking questions to the creator of all man. I said, what is it? Why don't they get it? And he took me on a journey into myself. He said, do you remember when you was born, the way you were born, and the community you were born in, and the culture you was born in, and the oppression you were under? Something happened to you. And I had to study myself. I influence millions of people every week. Almost a billion people hear my voice every week. My books are in 87 countries, in many languages. I got 600 invitations last year to speak, all expense paid. In 3 weeks, I'm going to be in London, in Jerusalem, meeting with President Netanyahu and some of the Knesset and the Jordanians and some of the Arabs. And they want me to come and speak to them. Now the question is, why? How can I go from living in a house with 11 children on four rocks in a poor town to be giving advice to presidents of countries? That doesn't just happen. Something happened to me. See, leadership is not something you could pick up from a book. And I tapped into it. It's attitude. The problem is you cannot create an attitude. And that's why your desire is to lead. I know it. Because every human being was born to lead. But you never quite cross the bridge. And the reason is because there's this spirit of leadership that has to happen to you. It doesn't come upon you now. It has to happen to you. Let me explain some of it here. I believe that the greatest discovery in you, in human experience, is self-discovery. I've come to that conclusion. Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, they debated this for a long time. And of course, their conclusion was the greatest thing for man to do is to know thyself. Well, they said it, but they never taught us how to do it. Maybe they didn't know how to do it themselves. I'm not sure they discovered themselves. But self-discovery is the greatest discovery in the world. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and you might have a problem with it, but let me say this. Even discovering God doesn't guarantee self-discovery. And that's why many people, maybe in this room, you have a relationship with God, but you're still struggling with your ability to lead. Because salvation does not guarantee conversion. There has to be a conversion on the inside of you that automatically, naturally transforms your attitude. And that's why people were born followers and they die followers. Some make it to titles, but never make it to transformation. Nothing is worse than having a sheep leading a band of lions. And some of you work with people who are heads of departments and they don't know what they're doing. And they frustrate you because they haven't crossed the bridge. Nothing has happened to them and they're trying to make it happen for you. Your leadership attitude comes alive when you become aware of your true nature. And this is where it begins. Write this down. The beliefs and the convictions of a leader regulate the nature of his leadership. The beliefs and the convictions of a leader. Now, what kind of beliefs and convictions? I'm not talking about religious beliefs, because you got those and you're still not changed. I'm talking about beliefs and convictions about yourself. That is what changes you as a leader or into a leader. If you study all the men and women that we consider influential in history, if you study them, something happened to them. Whether they are biblical characters or even our contemporary modern leaders that we appreciate, like Nelson Mandela, Saint Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. If you study all of them, what I'm talking about is exactly what happened to all of them. There came a point in their lives where they discovered a belief about themselves and the conviction about who they were and how important they were to the world that they totally abandoned other people's opinions of them. It has to happen to you. See, and when this happens to you, other people's opinions don't count anymore. But it has to happen to you. You cannot take a course in attitude. And you've been trying, I know. But you can't. You are still the same old person every time the course is over. Because as a man thinketh, and your attitude is what you think. Matter of fact, let's talk about it. The key questions of life. In order for you to discover the spirit of leadership, you have to answer these five questions. These are very tough questions. They're very difficult to get to because we don't take the time to even stop and ask them. My entire life is built on these five questions, and also my entire mission in life is to help people discover these answers. They are very difficult questions to answer. These five questions control your life, they control the universe, they control all of humanity, and these five questions control the world. Matter of fact, you came to this summit because of these five questions. The dress you're wearing was a result of these five questions. These control all the economies in the world. They control all the crime in the world. These five questions control all the broken homes in the world. That's why people get divorced. These five questions are the reason why. These five questions make people obese. These five questions would destroy young people and make them take drugs. These five questions are the social driving force of humanity. And that's why you got to answer them. And until you answer these five questions, you will never, I guarantee you will never become the leader you were born to be. And I say this emphatically, every human was born to be a leader in an area of gifting. But they never really get there because they don't deal with these questions. First question, who am I? Well, that's a tough question. Look in the mirror when you go in the bathroom for a break and ask the question. You'll be afraid to look back. Because the question is such an insecure question. It creates insecurity. It makes you wonder about some things you're afraid to talk about. Who am I? The second question, where am I from? Until you discover where you came from, you don't know anything about yourself. I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm not talking about race. I'm not talking about nationality. And that's why you're still not a leader the way you're supposed to be, because you're still finding your source as your ethnicity. You will never become a leader until you stop being a citizen of your country. Until you stop being trapped in your culture. Until you stop seeing your source as your race. Because whatever you consider to be your source becomes your limitation. I want you to think about it. A leader, a true leader, suddenly becomes no longer a member of a race. He becomes a member of the human race. A true leader, she has no race anymore. She rises to a level in conviction where she suddenly sees that she's a part of the human race. They lose their pigmentation mentality. They lose their cultural mentality. They lose their nationality mentality. They suddenly become a part of a massive, powerful reality that I am a human on assignment. That's why true leaders love everybody. Because they naturally don't see anybody as being different. That's why you love a true leader. Some of you are wondering, how can Nelson Mandela forgive de Klerk? Because he discovered something in prison. Matter of fact, he found it before he went to prison. He came out with it. He discovered that he was a human. That's why he could look at the oppressor and say, you know, you just are ignorant. You didn't know any better. He was delivered from humans so he could help them. People wonder why I'm the way I am. It's because I discovered something. I discovered where I came from. Number three, why am I here? It's a tough one. Ask yourself that question. Why am I here? What did I come to this planet for? Why am I on the earth? Why was I conceived? Why was I born? And question number four, what can I do? Question number five, where am I going? You got to deal with these questions to become a true leader. This question, what can I do? It seems like a simple question, but you'll be amazed how much you don't know about that answer. And the last question is a tough one. Where am I going with my life? I want you to write a word next to each question, please. Just put a word next to it. The first question, who am I? Write the word identity. Second question, where am I from? Write the word source. source. Third question, why am I here? Write the word purpose. Fourth question, what can I do? Write the word potential. And the fifth question, where am I going? Write the word destiny. Now, I just gave you your assignment for the rest of your life. That's your assignment. You've got to get these questions answered before you go to the cemetery. Because until you find them, you are somebody else. You're not yourself. Where do you get these answers from? When you answer these questions, the result is self-discovery. Some of you may not even know how important these questions are, but it's amazing. Are these your glasses? Good Lord, you're blind. Ooh, you're blind. I can't see a thing. Let me see. You're probably worse than she is. Oh, my God, you're blind. In the book of John, chapter 8, they ask Jesus a question. He made a statement. He says, I am the light of the world. And they said, who gave you the authority to make that statement? Your testimony is not valid. What they were saying is, how dare you know who you are and we didn't give you permission? We didn't validate you. You see, society wants to tell you who you are so they can control you. He said, matter of fact, his favorite words is attached to the first question. I am. I am. I am. See, look at the first question. You got to deal with the first question. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the sheep pen gate. I am the resurrection. I am the light. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am. In other words, he never asked, what do you think I am? He didn't trust other people's opinions about his ability, nor who he was. And that's your problem. You keep trying to get approval from other people. A leader is free from people. That's why they can help them. I am. And they said, that can't be valid because we didn't give you permission. You didn't graduate from our school. His answer was amazing. He says, even if I speak by myself, my testimony is valid. Watch this. He says, because I know where I came from and I know where I am going. That was his answer. See the questions? He was clear on all the questions. Then his next sentence was, you don't know where I came from, he says. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they knew he was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and hung around Capernaum. And yet he says, you don't know where I came from. Jesus never claimed to be a Jew. He kept saying, I came from where? My father. The word father is Abba in Hebrew, and it means source. I hope you get that. Until you transfer your source from being human to your Abba, you'll always be limited to human standards. Matter of fact, the next statement he makes is, you judge by human standards, he says. People want you to be just like them, and they are nothing. So you got to be delivered from them. Now notice, he said, I didn't come from Mary. I didn't come from Jews. I didn't come from Capernaum, Bethlehem, or Nazareth. I came from my father. Very important. Let me explain what he means. You see, that answer answers all the questions. I'm going to give a little demonstration here, okay? Here's a glass. You pour yourself out. What's in this glass? Whatever's in this pitcher. Is that right? This is the key to leadership attitude, actually. Now, Whatever's in the glass is in the pitcher. Is that true? Okay. The word Abba, write it down, A-B-B-A, is the Hebrew word which means S-O-U-R-C-E. That's the meaning of it. It means source. It also means sustainer. It's a very interesting word, Abba, source. So what is the source of this glass? The pitcher. Is that right? Am I right? Got it very clear now. So the source of this glass is this pitcher. So the minute the pitcher poured this substance out, it became its source. It's Abba. This is the word we translate as Father. So Father is neither male nor female. Father doesn't mean male. It means source. That's why the male is called Abba, because women didn't come from soil. They came from out of the... Anyhow, that's too deep for you. That's why women are not looking for a husband. They're looking for a father. And some of you men trying to be lovers. They don't want to be a lover. They're looking for a father. That's why the scriptures are very clear. A woman never leaves her father. Read it. It says only the man leaves his father, not women. They go from father to father. You can get that next time. I don't want to get into that stuff. That's too deep for you. Yeah. Okay. Now, here's what's the deal. God spoke to himself and man came out. So man really didn't come from the soil. Man came out of God. His body came from the soil, but not man. That's the word Jesus used for himself. I came from my Father. So whatever is in the pitcher is in the glass. Whatever is in the source is in the resource. Re means you go back to the source, yeah? All right. So if you want to know what you are, you got to find out where you poured yourself from. Or who poured you out, or where you came from. Some of you are getting it already. You see, when you discover your source, all of a sudden everything changes. Whatever is in the pitcher is in the glass. Your attitude comes from the discovery of your source. That's what makes me so dangerous. It's too late for me. I discovered where I came from. So keep your mind to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. It's too late. You can't change me no more. I know where I came from. So if you want to know who you are, study God. Leadership is incredible. Let's define this very quickly before we shut down here. Leadership spirit. What is the leadership spirit? Now, there's the difference between the leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership. And I want to make this very clear. And by the way, make sure you get a copy of this book. This book is not a book to read. It's a book to encounter yourself with. I spent hours working on this document because I wanted people to cross the bridge. Titles can never make you a leader. Positions can never make you a leader. Sinners can never make it. Comfort, I don't care who lay hands on you, they can't make you a leader. You have to have an encounter with self-discovery. Now, what is the leadership spirit and what is the spirit of leadership? They're completely different. The leadership spirit is the inherent spirit of mankind that possesses the natural qualities and characteristics of the Creator. In other words, this glass came out of the pitcher, the source, so the glass naturally has whatever the source has. Am I right? Okay, so you came out of God, so you naturally possess all the qualities and characteristics of God. Matter of fact, write this word image down for me, image. The word image is a Hebrew word, and when you study it, it's an amazing word. It doesn't mean to look like. It means to possess the same qualities and characteristics. So when God said, let us make man in our own image, he was actually saying, I am going to pour a piece of myself out and call it man. My language is so weak. English is so weak. You are a part of God in a dirt suit. It's So whatever God possesses, you possess. I was intrigued, you know, when I studied the document called the Bible. It's the most important book I've ever read. And I found out something interesting. The Bible never says, for example, God doesn't have love. God doesn't have holiness. God doesn't have righteousness. See, got to be careful. God doesn't have these things. He is these things. So when he poured them out, whatever the thing that he poured out also have these things. That's what makes me so bold, you see. I discovered that. Can I get deeper before I quit? All right. That is why there's nowhere in Scripture where you'll find this word, non-holy. Because non means it doesn't exist. If you came out of holiness, you are holy. So the Bible used another term to describe you as a fallen, detached, calls you unholy. Un means you got it, but it ain't showing up. Righteous. It doesn't say you are non-righteous, even though it says none are righteous. It says that, but it doesn't say you are non-righteous. It says you are unrighteous. You're not acting yourself lately. Deep down inside of you is everything that's in God. The problem is you were detached. You broke off. And now you lost your true self. And you are imitating everything you've been told from the outside. Leadership is when you reconnect. So you are the spirit of leadership because you have it. You came from the ultimate leader. But watch this. Every human possesses the spirit of leadership. But very few discover the truth about the spirit of leadership. Having the leadership spirit doesn't guarantee that you have the spirit of leadership. Why? The difference between the two is that the leadership spirit is what you are, but the spirit of leadership is who you think you are. It's the attitude. The spirit of leadership is when you marry who you are to what you think about who you are. It's very subtle. And you cannot think about who you are unless you discover who you are. For example, I don't try to be bold. Boldness is a result of a revelation of who you are. I don't try to be confident. Confidence is a natural result of discovering who you are. And that's why true leaders are not proud. They're just normal. They don't walk around trying to make an impression, make people like them. They can't help but being liked. That's why you like me so much. Don't lie. You know you like me. You like me because there's something about me that you admire that you can't put your finger on. You know what it is? I love myself. Leaders don't walk around trying to get people's approval. They've already been approved. And they've discovered it. Very, very strange difference. Now, the power of attitude, therefore, is the key to true leadership. The power of attitude. Am I supposed to stop? What time am I supposed to stop? No. What time am I supposed to stop? 9:20. Okay, I got to stop. All right, let me define the spirit of leadership first, and then we will stop. Okay. There's nothing as powerful as an attitude. And here's why. Because attitude dictates your response, to the present and determines the quality of your future. You are your attitude, and your attitude is you. If you don't control your attitude will control you. And therefore, attitude creates your world, and it designs your destiny. The problem is, where do you get attitude from? That's the big challenge. An attitude cannot be manufactured, and you can't fake it. So I'm not trying to be what I am. I discovered something. They kept asking Jesus, "Who are you? Who are you?" And his answer was simple. He said, "I've been telling you all along, but you don't believe me." In other words, they thought he was faking. He said, "I am not trying to be the resurrection." That's why he was so hurt when Mary said, "Yes, but he will be raised on the last day." That was an insult, because she was telling him, resurrection is something you do, and you ain't going to do it till later. He was insulted. He wept. He says, "Wait a minute, girl. I don't do resurrection." Oh, you don't understand how deep that is. You see, when you discover who you are, that's who you are. You ain't got to perform for nobody anymore. Just live. Who are you? Your attitude determines your success or your failure in any venture in life. And therefore, I am sad to say that more opportunities have been lost, withheld, or forfeited due to attitude more than any other cause. What has kept you back is your attitude. And your attitude is a result of what you believe about yourself. And that came from your culture and your family and your conditioning, your mental training. And you have become now a product of your community, of the context you live in. You become a victim of other people's opinions of you. And you live under other people's opinions. What a tragedy. Leaders have been set free from the opinions of people, because they discovered the ultimate opinion. Very important to understand that leadership is inherent, but it can only be effective when the attitude that comes with it comes alive. Attitude is more important than wealth, and it can keep you poor. You know that. That's why you're struggling, right? Attitude is more powerful as a distinction in life than beauty or position or wealth or title or status. Have you met beautiful people who got a bad attitude? Don't they look ugly to you all of a sudden? See, it ain't beauty. It's your attitude that makes you beautiful. A lot of folks are losing, not because of not lack of ability, but because of mentality. Very critical. Attitude is the servant that can open the door of life or close it. You can go into a situation and everything will open up for you if your attitude is right. Or everything will close because of your attitude. That's how powerful attitude is. And once again, you cannot fake an attitude. You can't make it up. You can't manufacture it. Attitude, when you get it right, it sets you free from competition. You can't compete with an original. When you find out what you are in the glass, that's it. Let me close with two illustrations. I have much more to say to you, but we pick up here tomorrow morning. But let me tell you this. Now listen carefully. You will change before you leave this place. I guarantee it. Because every one of us is going to work on the sleeping giant on the inside. It will happen. Two examples. This podium is made out of plexiglass. It's a product, byproduct of oil. Now, how strong is this plexiglass? It's as strong as the substance from which it was made. Is that right? Okay. So, no matter what I call this, it is where it came from. I just said the deepest thing, you missed it. See, you missed it. I'm going to say it again. No matter what I call this project, this item here, it's still where it came from. I ain't going to stop till you get this piece. It doesn't matter what my opinion is of that. It still is wherever it came from. That's what it is. So what you call it doesn't change what it is, because it is wherever it came from. So I call this stupid. It's still oil. I don't like the color. It's still oil. I think you are ugly. It is still. See, no matter what you say to it, it is where it came from. It's a discovery. So once you discover where you came from, you are free from all these opinions. Now, question. How strong is this podium? It is as strong as where it came from. If you make a wooden table out of a rotten tree, it doesn't improve. The table is as rotten as the tree it came from. Even though you call it a table, it is a tree. Are you getting this? So you see, you are as strong as where you came from. What can this table do? What can this podium do? It can do wherever it came from. What is your ability? Your ability has nothing to do with your IQ test. See, those tests have victimized you. It has nothing to do with your last high school exam that still haunts you at 45. And you've been living under a high school teacher's opinion for the last 30 years, and you can't get rid of that grade they put on you. And that's why at 60 you are still an average student in your mind. You've been a victim of people's words. They couldn't change Mandela's ability with words. See, you are not where they say you came from. You are where you came from. And that's why it's important to be like your master. He says, I came from my father. I didn't come from Nazareth, because them people don't know what they're doing. I didn't come from Mary, because she's limited. I didn't come from Job, because he don't know what he's doing. I didn't come from Bethlehem, because they're still trying to find bread. You know, hey, I came from a place where you can't get to, he says, you don't know where I came from. He said, that's why you don't know me. You don't know where I came from. That's your ability. Never allow anyone to create your reality. A leader is born when you discover the truth about yourself. Suddenly your confidence explodes like a bomb. Your conviction, your sense of self-worth changes right before the eyes of everybody. Your self-concept, my goodness, it becomes so real and so simple that suddenly even rags look good on you. If you need things to make you feel valuable, you are sick. See, when you know who you are, you make things valuable. So the clothes I wear today are very fortunate. And the chair you're sitting in should be clapping right now, because it got a royal bottom sitting in it. Come on, give me.
All right, so that brings us to the end of today's show.
Thank you all for tuning in. And I will see you same time, same place next week. God bless you. Bye.